which were in the day that the foundation of the house of the Lord of hosts was laid, that the temple might be built. For before these days there was no hire for man nor any beast, neither was there any peace to him that went out or came in because of the affliction, because of the affliction. And so the Bible says, because of that, for I set all men, everyone against his neighbor. But now I will not be unto thee the residue. But now I will not be unto the residue of this people as in the former days, saith the Lord of hosts. Verse 12 and 13 is what I want to drill down on. For the seed shall be prosperous. The vine shall give her fruit, and the ground shall give her increase, and the heavens shall give their due. And I will cause the remnant, I want you to underline that word, and I will cause the remnant of this people to possess all these things. This is very important. I will cause the remnant, not everybody, but the remnant of this people to possess all these things. And it shall come to pass that as you were a curse among the heathen, O house of Judah and the house of Israel, so I'll save you, and you shall be a blessing. Fear not, but let your hands be strong. Here we have in Zechariah, the 8th chapter, a prophetic description of the restoration of Israel. What is going on particularly right now in this particular text, for 12 years, the children of Israel were tasked with rebuilding the temple of Solomon that had been torn down. This is of course in line with what we were teaching you last week. And so the temple is half completed. It's not finished yet. And these are people who are trying to rebuild their lives, coming out of exile, coming out of years of being taken out of their homeland and trying to rebuild their life off of the word that God gave them. And for 12 years, that they have lost their zeal, their passion, their joy for the building of the temple. And so Zechariah comes, and he's commissioned by God to encourage the people for their unfinished responsibility. Look at your neighbor and say, have you settled your unfinished business? Have you settled? Yeah, see, I taught you that you got to learn how to enter into a season of declutter so that you can go back and take care of unfinished business. Stuff you left hanging, things you left lingering, folk that you supposed to cut off, you still let the door open. You still, y'all ain't said nothing. You still texting them. You texting them right now. Y'all ain't said nothing. God done everything to get them out your life, and you still trying to stay connected to something that's toxic. And so he's coming to encourage them, and he's not coming to rebuke them. He's coming to encourage them. He's not coming to rebuke them, because here's at the end of the day, let me help you out. When it comes to staying connected, when it comes to staying connected to your source, there's some things you can't rebuke. You just got to endure it. If you're rebuking it and it ain't going nowhere, oh my God, y'all want to talk back to me, then it ain't the enemy. As a matter of fact, my Bible tells me I don't even have to rebuke him. I can resist him and he'll flee. So when it comes to pain, when it comes to pressure, when it comes to things in our lives that are uncomfortable, often that we blame the enemy for whatever is coming our way. But some of that is not the enemy. Some of it is unfinished business. Some of it is things that we have to learn through a process that God wants us to go through so that we can grow and develop through that process. But unless you understand that you have to endure it, all you'll ever try to do is escape it. It is not what you escape that's going to make you successful. It's what you endure. The Bible says, they that endure to the end shall be saved, not they that escape out of the middle. We are excited about starts and finishes. We are starts and finishes culture, and we get happy about starting something and we get happy about finishing something. But what we are not happy about is the middle, because the middle is typically messy. The middle is really is not appealing. There's no headline in the middle. There's no accolade in the middle. There's no ego to stroke in the middle. It's just struggle. It's just hardship. It's just struggle. It's just difficulty while you're in the middle of it all. But it's in the middle that the miracle really happens. It's in the middle that most of the growth takes place. It's in the middle that you start learning how to remain connected to your source. In the start, you're fired up. You're excited about it. You get married, and my God, you had a wedding, and you was excited. You was happy. I was married now. Everybody know you married. You're blushing. You're blooming. You can't wait to get home. 5 years in, you looking for a pack of matches to set the person on fire. And you're not even in the middle. You're still in the beginning. You're still in the beginning of it all. My wife and I, we've been married 22 years, and we're just in the middle. Y'all don't hear that. We're just in the middle. So it's in the middle that growth happens. It's in the middle that you really learn if you want to remain connected or not. It's all in the middle. And so I want to get to this thing. And so he's not rebuking them. He's encouraging them to continue. They're in the middle of a process, and they're losing their passion, and they're losing their zeal, and they're trying to uproot. They're not going to stay connected. The temple's got to be rebuilt. He's doing this because he's trying to remind them of the future importance of this thing. And so they need to learn this lesson that I want you to write this down. This is not a point. It's just a principle. And I want you to get it down like I wrote, like God gave it to me. So Zechariah is trying to explain to them the importance of this temple and the future importance of it. But future blessing, write this down. This is going to bless you. Future blessing is contingent upon present obedience. Present obedience. If you're not going to do what God asks you to do presently, then you cannot step into what God wants to bless you with down the road in the future. And so the people are not merely building a building. They are building the future. They are building something that's going to help their future. They're not building a building. And so God sends Zechariah. It's funny to me because if you look up the etymology of Zechariah's name, his name means God remembers. Oh, God has remembered. And so basically in this particular story, in the particular text, God is trying to tell Israel, I remember you. I got you. I know where you are. Look at your neighbor and say, God remembers you. God remembers you. He knows exactly where you are. He knows exactly what you're dealing with. He knows exactly what you're going through. And he remembers you. Even though you're in the middle of some stuff, he remembers you. So how do you remain connected to your source? How do you remain connected to your source when you feel like your source has brought you to a place of struggle? They're struggling to rebuild the temple. Their houses are not completely done. They're starting to focus on their own stuff instead of God's stuff. And Haggai and Zechariah are both contemporaries, and they're trying to get Israel to this place of understanding that God is going to restore them and God is going to bless them. And then the Bible tells us something very interesting. It says that God is going to do this thing where the seed is going to be prosperous, and the vine is going to begin to yield its fruit, and the ground is going to start giving its increase, and the heavens are going to give their due. But the problem here in the text is that not everybody's going to receive it, because there's only this remnant that's remaining. So these are the people who remain connected to the source, even when the source put them in a position of struggle. Oh, y'all don't want to talk back to me. Y'all don't talk back to me. So I got a few principles for you. You ain't gonna like them, but but they gonna bless you anyway. First principle number one. First principle number one. You have to be patient. You have to be patient to overcome any adversity. Hebrews 6:12. Come on, let's go there. Let's work the word of God a little bit. Is that all right? I'm just laying a foundation. Hebrews 6:12. Come on, we're in Bible study. It's amazing that y'all don't want to look at the Bible at Bible study. No, we're in Bible study. I want you to get these scriptures in your spirit. because they're going to help you stay connected to the source. Every scripture we're reading tonight is going to help you stay connected to the source, because you about to disconnect. You about to uproot. You about to be like, I'm about done with this. This struggling mess is about over. How do I stay connected? So how do I stay planted? How do I become an all-season contender? What this is telling me, I don't want to get to the end because I'm going to get ahead of myself. But what this is telling me is that somebody missed the fruitful season. You endured all that stuff and then left right before the fruitful season. But the remnant, Lord have mercy, the small portion of people that remain, the Bible says that they are about to go into this fruitful season where the vine is going to yield this fruit. They stay connected to this thing, but there's no fruit on the vine. The ground's not giving this increase. I don't see how it's going to turn around in my favor. I don't see how things are going to start working on my behalf, but yet I got to figure out how can I stay connected, because this is what I know. God put me here. And if I know God put me here in this spot, then he is my source. And if he's my source, then this struggling spot is all right. It's okay. There's got to be something here that God has for me. So it takes patience. It takes patience. You have to be patient. Patience ensures the eventual success of whatever God is going to do. Hebrews 6:12 says this: imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised. Imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised. That's Hebrews chapter 6, verse 12. And so you have to be patient in order to see what God has shown you, the visions that he's given you come to fulfillment and to pass. In Zechariah's vision, he gets the eight visions. I don't want to preach on the eight visions, but he gets the seven visions. And then in chapter 8, He talks about what's about to unfold and how Israel is going to be restored. But only the remnant is going to get it, because this is the group of people who were patient enough to see the vision unfold. The Bible tells us we have need of patience. Oh, y'all don't want to talk back to me tonight at all. None of us are patient, particularly when we're in the messy middle. And watch me now. And the reason why we're not patient is because we cannot get over the idolatry of our own opinion. I'm coming down with some heavy tonight. Okay? God said X, your opinion says Y, right? And because God's X is uncomfortable, right? And it's full of struggle, and it's full of uncertainty, right? It's uncertain because you don't have detail. Stay with me. It's not uncertain because you don't have God. It's only uncertain because you don't have detail. If you have God, you'll understand this about God. God is intentional. He's so intentional that he's not ambiguous. Yo, hear what I'm saying? So he says to Israel, I'm going to restore you, and there's going to be a season when I restore you. But before the season I restore you, I need you to endure this struggle. And somebody in the enduring of the struggle decided to give into the idolatry of their own opinion. And the reason it's idolatrous is because it has more power than what God said. When your opinion starts outweighing his command. Oh, y'all don't want to talk back to me. It causes you to uproot. It causes you to start seeing things in a haze. It causes you to start making stuff up in your mind. It causes you not to seek the truth. It really causes you to start seeking what you thought should happen how you think it should go down. I don't want to stay here. So you gotta have this patience. You gotta have this patience. How do I have patience? I don't know how to have it. Imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised. You got a lot of people to imitate in the Bible. You can imitate Paul, who was in famine often, and in the peril of the deep, who was shipwrecked, stoned, left for dead. Oh, y'all want to talk back to me? You can imitate Christ, who despised, who endured the cross, but despised the shame. You can imitate so many people in scripture who through faith and patience inherited what God has promised. Y'all don't like that scripture at all. Lord Jesus, have mercy. And so what God promises something, stay with me, it is step by step. And I know we like words like leap, and I've preached that before. You're going to leap. And so, you know, leaps in God are infinitesimal. In other words, they're small but big impact. Faith to faith, glory to glory. Don't feel like you went a long way. Don't feel like you progressed that much. Don't feel, and it feels like you haven't progressed because the progression wasn't straightforward. Straightforward progression is a myth. I know I'm right. I'm trying to get you to understand what I'm talking about. Straightforward progression is a myth. So you're upset that you had a detour and that you had a turn and that you had a derailment and that you had a setback. Look at your name and say, that's all a part of the process. That's all a part of the process. The Bible says God goes ahead of you and make the crooked places straight. I wish I had somebody here. That tells you that straightforward progression is a myth. If God's got to go down the road and straighten some stuff out. So why am I shocked when there's a detour sign? Why am I shocked? Y'all don't hear what I'm saying. Why am I shocked when God says not yet? Why am I shocked when God says no? Even when God says, oh, one of my pastor friends put this out today, I meant to text him and give him an offering for it because it was so good. He said, even when God says no, there's good written all over the no. Oh, my God, I thought that was so awesome. Because if God tells you no, then that means he has something better in store for your life. I dare you touch three people right now and say, God's got something better for you. God's got something better for you. God's got something better for you. Watch this. So when God gives vision for something and he's going to do something, it's step by step. It's not often leap by leap. And part of that step by step process is making the necessary adjustments along the way in your thinking, in your practice, in your perceptions, in your mental models, because regardless of where God is taking you, if you take the same structure of the old mental model, then the new paradigm is not going to be able to produce what you should be producing because you went into it with the old mental structure. You got to tear the entire structure down and rebuild your thinking process so that when God restores you, you don't start living like you're still in pain. So God wants to take you through a process where that when you experience pain, you then call it process and not pain. We go through pain and we go through it so much that we never see it as process. And therefore, we start processing the pain as if it's always going to be that way. So when restoration time comes, we normally miss it because we're more used to the pain than we are to the promise. Yo, God, y'all don't want to talk back to me. So touch your neighbor real quick and say, what do you look like when you're not in pain? Who are you? Because normally when I'm talking to you, God, y'all don't want to talk back to me, huh? There's some pain that's caused you to be impatient. You want it to be alleviated. You don't want this step-by-step approach. You want this great leap. It's step-by-step. It's step-by-step because it has to take us to the point at which we are ready for what God showed us to be fulfilled. If God showed you the entire path right away, you would not walk the path. Because what he does not show you is the press in the pathway. But he gives you enough of the pathway that makes you want to keep pressing toward the mark of the prize of the high call. Touch your neighbor and say, I can't turn back now. I can't. So if I can have a little bit more patience, I can set a pace I can set a pace. I can set a pace that won't let me turn back. I can set a pace where I'm not huffing, where I'm not out of breath. I can set a pace where I'm comfortable. I don't have to get there now. It's not given to the swift. The race is not given to the swift, but it's to those that endure. So this is an endurance thing. And if I can be patient, I can set the right pace. I was working out with my trainer. If you see him, just lay hands on him. I was working out with my trainer, and he had me running the subway stairs. I don't know if you've ever been in Charles Street Station. And the sub, yeah, bless the name of Jesus. And he goes, man, we just gonna trot. We just gonna trot. You know, we gonna hit these steps. Now normal with me and him, we'll hit those steps 70 times. And it's not a game. You do not want to be kicked by me. I can tell you that right now. but this time we haven't done it in a while. He says, look, man, we're gonna warm up. This is not the workout, it's just the warm up. It's not a workout, it's just a warm-up. And we're just going to hit the steps 25 times. We're just going to hit it 25 times. We're going to go in and do our workout. That's all. Well, I'm like, all right, no problem, you know. I'm in shape. I haven't done it in a while, and it's fine. And he's like, we're just going to trot. And he's trotting up the steps, you know. And he's just going. I got my music on. And, I'm feeling good. And I'm hitting them steps. I'm like, ha, ha. And I'm hitting it. And he's just a trot. No energy, no effort, just loose. And I'm digging in every step. I'm high stepping with the knee. My knee all the way up in here, like I'm in A&T marching band. Y'all ain't said nothing. Like I'm like, and I'm getting it in. And by the third run, I got down to that bottom step, and I was like, oh, no, Jesus. And the lactic acid is building up in my legs. And I'm like, I don't know why I'm so tired. I don't understand. I'm in shape. I've been running. I've been running 5 miles, and I've been doing all this cardio. And I'm sitting there dying. And he's going, your pace is crazy. He says, man, you're digging in so hard. You're going so fast. He said, why? He said, I'm just trying. I'm barely even putting no energy into it. Why are you stepping all hard on the step? Your knee in your chest. Why are you doing all that? I told you, this ain't the workout. It's just the warm-up. The reason why I was doing it so hard is because I just wanted it to be over. I didn't want to do it in the first place. Y'all ain't said nothing. And I just wanted it to be over, so I was trying to do it as fast as I humanly possibly could and couldn't even, and almost died on the third one. And when I slowed down and when I got myself together and when I set my pace, it was easy. We set the pace and I never stopped. And before I knew it, he was like, that's it, that's the last one, let's go inside. I'm like, that's the last one. See, the reason why you're fatigued is because you're treating the warm-up like the workout. God is just trying to warm you up. He's trying to get you ready. He's trying to get you prepared. He's trying to get you ready to handle something that he wants to bless you with so that when the fruitful season comes, come on, you can do something with it. And now, you don't want the fruitful season to come and you're disconnected from the source and its fruit one time. Oh, y'all don't hear what I'm saying. You want the fruitful season to come, and you want to take some of the fruit to replenish some of your losses. You want to take some of the fruit and enjoy some of the season that you're in. And then you want to take some of that fruit and you want to replant. Come on here, somebody. And you want to replant and resow and get ready for the next season of your life. That's how you become an all-season contender. Touch your name and say, you got to set the pace. You got to set the pace. You got to set the pace. The Bible says, how do I set the pace? Isaiah 30:21 says this. Hear a voice behind us saying, this is the way. Walk in it. Oh, God. Walk in it. How do I set the pace? Well, I gotta understand the way. And I gotta understand that whatever I'm facing right now, this is the way. Well, Pastor, it's an obstacle in front of me. Yeah, the obstacle is the way. I'm under all this pressure. Yeah, the pressure is the way. Oh, I'm in a crisis. The crisis is the way. Well, Pastor, how can, because Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. That means if I'm connected to the vine, that no matter what I'm going through, it's a through. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying. It's a through. It's not a permanent thing. It's just the way. This is the way. Walk in it. We're so busy trying to get out of it. We're so busy trying to escape. One of my favorite scriptures is Paul and Silas in jail, in Philippi jail. It's my favorite because they start praising and praying at midnight, and their prayer and their praise has the power to unlock everybody's chains. Everybody's chains falls off, right? And which was so funny to me, because if you're incarcerated like that, unjustly, by the way, and you start praying and praising God, you're saying to God, thank you for getting me out of this situation. And you're ready to get out. See, you clap. You're like, oh, yeah, thank you. I'm out. No, they didn't leave. Not one person left. They all stayed and then had the gravitas to make everybody else stay in the jail too. Oh, y'all don't want to talk back to me. What's wrong with y'all tonight? Come on. It made everybody else stay. Everybody's chains fall off in the jail and nobody moves. The jailer comes and he's crying because he sees the prison doors flung open. And Paul says, don't worry, we're all still here. Because his mission was not to get out. Oh, Lord have mercy. His mission was to be in. Y'all don't want to talk back to me. Y'all want to talk. I'll give you another example. Peter is thrown in prison. He's thrown in prison right after they heal a man at the gate. At the gate of the temple, and this man is begging, and Peter comes and says, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give unto thee. I wish I had somebody in here. And the Bible says that they come, and the Sanhedrin come and put them in jail and tell them that they bet not talk about Jesus. And Peter looks at the Sanhedrin council and says, look at here, let me tell you something right now. I don't care what you say. I don't care what you do. There is nothing that you can do that's going to stop me from talking about Jesus. He didn't at one time say, God, how could you get me in this situation? He didn't at one time say, Father, I'm out here doing your will and then done got me locked up. This is some mess. I'm done with you. I'm done with church. I ain't said nothing. No. He didn't say none of that. He in there talking about, you can't get me to stop talking about Jesus. Why? Because he knew his assignment was not to get out, but to get in. And it was his getting in that birthed his church. Yeah. Remnant people know how to stay in. I gotta get
out of this.
So you set the pace by understanding this is the way. Walk in it. This is the way. Walk in it. Galatians 4:4-5, you can write it down, says this, but when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under law, that we might be receive the full rights of sons. In other words, he's set time in motion. He set a pace. He set the thing. So it's all going to come in the fullness of time. It's going to come. If God showed you something, it's going to come. But it can only come in the fullness of time. I wish I had somebody in here. It's not going to come when you think it should come. It never does. Ever. But it does come in the fullness of time. Well, Pastor, when's the fullness of time? I don't know. It's the pace that God set. It's the pace that God set. It's the pace that God set. So I got my pace. I got my patience. And if I got my patience and I got my pace and I have those things intact and I have those things in place. And it is those things that help me to stay connected to the vine. Once I got patience and once I got my pace, here's the next piece. I need my prayer life. because my prayer life is going to sustain. It's going to sustain me, and it's going to sustain me in the midst of the demands of what God showed me. Because whatever he showed me the end. He didn't show me the middle. It's real quiet in here. Lord Jesus. He didn't show me the middle. Because if he showed me the middle, yeah. We ain't doing that, Jesus. That's how you getting down? Oh, no. Thank you, brother. We're not doing it. No. My prayer life. How's your prayer life? No, really. There's no judgment zone. It's a rhetorical. Don't make no faces. I ain't going to look at you like you're crazy. How's your prayer life? Not how's your complaint life. How is your prayer life? Are you praying? Are you complaining? Prayer is a dialogue, not a monologue. God, I can't hear you because you're doing all the talking. You're doing all the talking. When God's really about to do something, he's silent. Oh, God, I felt that thing. Oh, God, y'all, come on, I need my church tonight. When God is really about to move, he's silent. He ain't doing a whole lot of talking. That's why I'm always leery of people talking about God said, God said, God said. Because he talked to you more than he talked to me. And I work for him. I heard the Lord say. No, you heard you say. The idolatry of your own opinion has convinced you that what you're thinking about is thus saith the Lord. When God is really about to do something, he's quiet, he's silent. And it's how you deal with the silence, oh God, that determines whether or not you're going to become a remnant individual. He ain't saying nothing. You praying, you crying, you crawling, you snotting, he ain't talking. And it's amazing when God gets silent, we seek other voices. I'm coming right down your street. Because he didn't tell you what you wanted to hear. So you go find what you want to hear to validate the idolatry of your own opinion. I'm seeing it way too much in the body. God said no. God said not yet. You didn't get what you want. It didn't turn out the way you wanted. So you seek other voices. I don't want to go there. John 15:5, he makes it plain. He says, I'm the vine, you're the branch. I'm the vine, you're the branch. I'm the vine, you're the branch. I'm the vine, you're a branch. Apart from me, you can do nothing. I'm the vine, you're the branch. You're not the vine. You're not the source. I'm the vine, you're the branch. I'm the source. If you disconnect from me, you can't do nothing. You can't bear fruit. You can't have the life that you're looking for because I'm the vine. I'm the source. Y'all want to talk back to me? Apart from me, you can't do nothing. So I have to be praying when God is silent. I have to be praying Philippians 1:6. He that has begun a good work in me shall complete it and bring it to its full completion to the end. I have to be praying that though he slay me, yet shall I trust him. I have to be praying, yea, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I shall fear no evil. I have to be praying when my enemies come to eat upon my flesh, they're going to stumble and fall, for the Lord will take me up. I have to be praying. I have to be praying, and my prayer is not always, oh God, oh thank you, Holy Ghost. My prayer is not always a request. Sometimes it's just prophetic. Oh, y'all don't want to talk back to me. Sometimes it's just me encouraging myself, oh God, to stay in the fight. Sometimes it's just me getting the energy that I need because I don't feel like I'm connected to the vine. And when I start communicating, when I start praying, my mind calms down and peace comes over my spirit and it encourages me to stay in the fight. Touch three people, say, stay in the fight, stay in the fight. I don't want to go there. Prayer is an essential resource to what God showed you. And if you're not praying, you cannot get where you want to go. You cannot get where you want to go. There's going to be times when all you got is a prayer. You won't have money. You won't have people. You won't know how. All you're going to have is a prayer. That's it. That's it. That's all you got. Lord have mercy. That's all there is. When you pray, watch this. When you stay connected like that to God, here's what the Bible says. If the Lord delights in the man's ways, he makes his step firm. Though he stumble, this is Psalms 37:23. Though he stumble, he will not fall. For the Lord upholds his hand. So if I can get patience, if I can get the pace, and if I can develop a prayer life that's rooted in communicating with the Father, I can see what God said is going to happen in my life. Look at your neighbor and say, you're about to see it. You're about. The people who are described in this particular scripture called remnant individuals are people who were directed by a clear vision. These are people who were guided because there was no ambiguity in their hearts or minds regarding what God intended. And they were tuned in completely, so much to the point, watch me now, that what God showed them was their preferable future. In other words, they could have created a future for themselves based on what they already had and went on with their lives. Some obviously did. Lord have mercy. But then some who decided to be remnant folk, some who decided to remain, some who decided to stay connected, some who decided to stay connected to the vine, some who decided to silence their voice of their own opinion, some who let that power of God work within them to get to this place that they understood that there was a preferable future, and that whatever they were praying about, that God was able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that they ask or think. Some of those individuals that got to that place, the Bible says, was about to step into a season where the vine was going to yield its fruit, where the ground was going to give its increase, where they were about to enter into a season where things were about to be fruitful, where the heavens was going to give its due. Everything was going to start working again. Everything was going to start moving forward again. Everything that felt stuck, everything that felt stopped, everything that felt cursed was about to be completely reverse engineered and start working again. Everything that felt like it was on hold was about to start working again. Everything that felt like it was never going to happen was about to start working again, only because they remained. Here's the problem. When you uproot and you let go of what God told you, you have to start process all over again. You have to start process all over again. We see this over and over and over and over and over all throughout Israel's history, all throughout the history. And the reason why we want to start, the reason why we want to uproot is because of that thing I call the middle. Look at your neighbor and say, if you can endure the middle, you can make it to the end. This is how you become of remnant individual. The problem with the middle, and I'm closing with this, is that it's not headline worthy. That it's not headline worthy. Yet it's filled with everything that's important. God, Lord have mercy. In the middle is your war with self-doubt. In the middle is the roller coaster that you feel in your stomach between success and failure. That you're hoping you're going to succeed, but it feels like you're going to fail. In the middle, my God, is you battling imposter syndrome. If they ever really found out who I really am, they would have not given me the job that they gave me. In the middle, my God, is all of your fears and all of your worries that you're contending with. In the middle is your crying and your praying and your pleading and you're saying, God, why? That's all in the middle. But when you stand up for testimony time, it's won't he do it? Y'all ain't said nothing. But in the middle, the part you ain't telling nobody, God is building patience and he's giving you a pace. I wish I had somebody in here. And he's developing a prayer life on the inside of you so that when it's all said and done and you come into your fruitful season and God says, push repeat. See, that's what it's about being an all-season contender. That's what it's about. It's not about this one-time process that it's going to be over and I'm off to something else, to my better days. Touch your neighbor and say, push, repeat. Oh, y'all didn't like that. Y'all ain't like that. Push, repeat. Push, repeat. So that's what it's all about. It's not about the start and it's not about the finish. It's about the journey in between. And you're going to have to get to this place where you realize that God is going to start you and he's going to finish you, but a lot of that work is going to happen in the middle and he's going to repeat the cycle all over again. So you're going to have to start and you're going to have to endure, but in your endurance, he's going to optimize you. I wish I had somebody in here. And then you're going to finish and then you're going to repeat again. And then you're going to start and then you're going to endure and then he's going to optimize you some more. But the next season, you're going to be a little bit more stronger so that when the wind starts blowing and the problem starts coming, you're sitting there going, I've been through this before. All right, watch this. Check this out. They're going to blow me this way. I'm going to bounce right back. Watch this. Check this out. Somebody going to pick my branch off, but watch this. I'm going to grow another one out. Check this out. Oh, wish I had somebody in here. Slap your name and say, push repeat. The problem is now that we're going through these cycles and we're still scared. We're still scared. You've been through it before. You went through it. You got the hat, t-shirt, and a bag of chips. So when God comes to you and says, the seed shall be prosperous, and the vine shall give her fruit, and the ground shall yield her increase, and the heavens shall give their due, and I will cause the remnant of this people to possess all these things. That's where you should be. God, I'm about to start all over again. God is about to bring me into a whole different season in my life of fruitfulness, and I don't want to miss this opportunity because I'm afraid to go through a process that I had already been through before. Look at your neighbor real good and say, you already been through this before. You all right? This ain't nothing new. Don't let the enemy convince you just because he changed some folk and changed some scenery that this is a new struggle. It's the same old thing over and over and over and over and over again, and if you came through it the last time, you're going to come through it this time. I wish I had somebody, but you're going to come through it stronger so that when God puts you in a fruitful season, you have remained and you stayed. Now you can enjoy this fruitful season. Don't miss the fruit. You done took the burial process. You done had the wind blow on you. You done felt the pressure of the water. Why miss the fruit? I thought so. Why miss the fruit? Because the fruit, I did good. I got 10 more minutes. Y'all about to get some more of that. Look, I thought my time was up. I did good. Oh, my God. I don't even know what to do myself now. Watch this. Watch this. I want to get, if I can, I can get this to you in time. I was going to leave this part out. Here's why you don't want to miss the fruit. Because what God showed you has a generational nature to it. What you are producing is about to leave nutrients, Lord have mercy, for the seed of the next generation to take root and grow. That's why you don't want to miss the fruit. Because in the fruit is more seed, but that seed has more power. Oh my God, I feel like preaching up ahead. It has more power because it's born of something that had to endure. Oh! I was having this conversation yesterday. Somebody asked me about my son, and I was, they were bragging on him, and I was bragging on him too. And I was talking about what he's going to be doing this summer and how excited I am for him, and they said, "You must be proud." I said, "I'm more than proud. I am ecstatic that my wife and I moved a generation." And they said, "What do you mean?" I said, "You understand, my son is not starting where I started. I don't want my children to take off where I took off. I want them to take off where I left off. And I want them to be in a position to be stronger than I ever was." I wish I had somebody in here. So he's coming out of college, no debt. You understand what I'm saying? No, he's starting his life zero debt. Okay, yeah. You ain't got to be happy for my peas. These my peas. But he has no debt. He has a Harvard degree. He'll be able to go and do whatever he wants to do. Whatever he chooses to do, his leaf won't wither and he'll prosper. Then that means my grandchildren, will be at a whole nother dimension. This is what this is about. That's what it's about. So I'll go through a season of struggle so that I can leave nutrients. Oh, God. In the seed of the next generation. Just like my parents went through a season of struggle. And their struggle, I don't know nothing about their struggle. Oh, y'all don't want to talk to me. Y'all don't want to talk to me. I can sit here and listen to it all day, but they lived in the era of hoses and dogs. Y'all ain't said nothing. I watched it on TV. No, y'all don't want to talk to me about it. I don't know nothing about their struggle at all. My son don't know nothing about mine. My daughter was saying something the other day, and I was like, "What? Child, please, what you talking?" You know, she was like, "It's hard out here." I'm like, "Hard? What in the world are you talking about? Hard?" She in there cooking on a Viking range stove. "It's hard out here. It's hard. Oh, it's hard, huh?"